This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee with Brian Rowitz from ESPN Westbaum. Jonathan Hood from ESPN 1000 may or may not be joining at some point. He's a busy man. If you miss him and you want to hear his takes, just make sure you're checking out Busted Open Radio on Sirius XM Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon Eastern. So you can get a lot of great reactions with SummerSlam. But what he did not get to react to, because it happened Sunday night at SummerSlam, is where we begin. We had the surprise at the end of night one, which I don't think was really a surprise, and I think a lot of people saw it coming, despite WWE trying to say it was the ruse of the century of Seth Rollins cashing in his Money in the Bank contract to become WWE World Heavyweight Champion over CM Punk. But we had a legitimate surprise on Sunday night, Brian, because after Cody Rhodes won the WWE Undisputed Championship and exited the stage, Brock Lesnar's music hit. He comes out, lays out John Cena, presumably setting up the next run for John Cena on his retirement tour. But that's where we start right here. Brock's return is blank.
Is why? I know that's not really English, but is pointless? Well, how about that? Like, there is all the outside the ring stuff. There is the fact that the man is named 44 times in a lawsuit involving sexual trafficking that most people would frown upon. But from a purely wrestling standpoint, what does Brock bring to the table? Like, Brock versus Cena again is not something where, like, all right, take my money, it's yours. But in the WWE world where it's just the nostalgia pops and the same ideas, that apparently is their hottest idea. And this company is severely hurting for that next generation of stars. And we'll get into it a little bit later on about, you know, future main eventers of WrestleMania. At this point, future WrestleMania main eventers are Brock, Cena, and Cody for the next 20 years at this point. Like, they are struggling with developing stars. And this is the ultimate cry of, like, how about Brock? Throw Brock out there. And I think you also see the toxicity of it where Hunter basically says it's Cena. Cena says it's not me. Then Hunter says, oh, yeah, we called them. And no one wants to take ownership of it. And here we are in the year 2025 talking Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, pretty ironic. Pretty interesting that WWE decides to get rid of the press conferences, which, by the way, I'm an advocate of, because they really weren't accomplishing anything. Like, some people doing them kayfabe, some people not. It seemed pointless to me. I think them doing the way they handled their post-show, where you've got your panel, people come through, I think that's fine, because ultimately, they wanted the press conferences to be a talking point, and some members of the media were cool to play along, some were not, right? Some actually wanted to ask legitimate questions. So just do your little kayfabe thing on your set, that's fine. When Brock's music hit, it caught my attention.
100%.
Oh my God, Brock is back. And then as he made his way down to the ring, it just kind of settles in more of, I don't know how I really feel about this. This doesn't feel great. This feels, because again, he was gone for 18 months. And honestly, the last program that he did, which was to help Cody Rhodes fill time between WrestleMania appearances, where he finally went over and finished his story, was fantastic. Because they ended up, you know, they split the first two, and then I believe it, then Lesnar finally goes over. I can't remember when that last match was. Was it SummerSlam? Has he been gone for 2 years?
I think it's like 18 months since we've seen him.
Okay, but I mean, either way, whatever that last match was, him giving Cody the hug and kind of putting him over on his way out, fantastic. Like, hey, that's great, you know? And I just don't know what other stories there are to tell with Brock Lesnar at this point, other than what you said, the rehashing. So to me, creatively, it's not really worth it. To me, the outside of the ring stuff, not great. And I am not going to lie, I did not read the entire lawsuit in its entirety. But I feel like there was something going around on social media this weekend of, well, even in the lawsuit, you know, Janelle just says that, and her lawyers say that he didn't do anything wrong. I'm like, I don't know if that's what that says. And then they put out the statement on Monday, you know, kind of condemning his return. It's like, okay, that's not at all what the lawsuit says. So I don't know if that's just people trying to justify the return of Brock Lesnar. But I was excited for a second when I heard his music, because it was in today's day and age of wrestling, getting a genuine surprise like that is legitimately shocking. And the longer his music played, the less good it felt.
Yeah.
And the more you think about it, it's like, well, there's no good story to tell. There's nothing. I mean, again, there is heat on the outside coming in. So it's, I don't know. It just, it doesn't seem like the juice is worth it.
Because all those people are like, oh, he was found guilty of nothing. Sure. Then why was he gone for the last 18 months? Why did TKO, why did the WWE be like, we don't want this guy here, and sort of scrub their hands of that? And now all of a sudden it's like, ah, we're good now. Like, there is a reason for that. And yet here we are again, and they have no one to build around.
I guess, guys, the one thing we're going to know is that TKO is going to TKO.
Yeah.
So from the UFC standpoint, the face of it, Dana White slaps his wife on film. Everyone saw it. Mm-hmm. No repercussions. They keep bringing in Conor McGregor. Yep. They keep bringing in John Bones Jones. These guys have been implicated and charged and had jail time, but they keep bringing them back because of a payday. So it's strange but true that WWE is part of this as well. Not just saying that they're TKO, but also some of the habits and the things that TKO does, that UFC does, they're part of it as well. So I can't be surprised that Brock is back. I felt like you, Gabe, that when we first found out it was Brock and we heard that music, like, oh my God, he's back. And from a wrestling fan standpoint, like I am, I'm glad to see the matchup. But again, until Brock is not implicated in any of this, why should he return?
Right.
Well, but also, like, I don't know what story you're going to tell with Cena Lesnar other than they get one last match.
That's it. It's just whatever John wants, right? Because the one thing for sure with this John return, he's not trying to make the young kids better. He ain't losing to the young kids.
Because there are no young kids. Like, there's no young kids there. And, like, even in the main event scene, like, who's Cody defending against? Like, oh, yeah, Cody's the champion now. Like, it almost would have made more sense if Cena won this weekend and then you got one last Cena Brock and it's for the title. You put the title back on Cody, and I have zero expectations for this title run.
Well, that's because, again, like, every story that they've told with Cena since the return has either been him pursuing the championship or then him having the championship and then guys like Punk and Randy Orton, you know, when you're playing some of the Cena's greatest hits, those guys going after the championship, which made sense. Like, Lesnar returning just to kick the crap out of Cena, like, sense to me. And the fact that Cena doesn't want to make it seem like, hey, this wasn't my idea, and Triple H wanted to be like, no, it wasn't my idea. Like, the fact that they're trying to if that's the way we're going to do this, if we're going to play hot potato with whose idea was it to bring in Brock Lesnar, maybe you shouldn't brought him back in the first place.
Because they're just hoping fans forget. Like, they're hoping the revisionist history. We saw it on the post show, on the new presser, whatever they're going to call it. The fans are chanting, we want Cross, and Hunter turns and goes, you got Brock. And we're like, what? Like, is that what we said? Is that what we're chanting? Like, you're just supposed to believe it. It's like, don't worry about that. Like, he literally is Oz in this situation.
Well, just like we said in the group chat, there's a reason why they're not doing those press conferences anymore. Brock's back. Could you imagine Triple H having to explain why you're aligned with Donald Trump?
Uh-huh.
And then why you brought Brock Lesnar back when there's a case pending against Vince McMahon? Could you imagine him trying to wiggle his way out of that? I mean, he can't do it. He tried on some interviews before SummerSlam. It's still a PR nightmare. Still not being able to answer it well. So, look, I understand from the wrestling standpoint, if Cena's last year, they're going to run it back, all the classics, right? Are we getting a Cena JBL at some point, too, since we got all the classics? Are we getting that, too? I mean, seriously.
And to answer your question earlier, Gabe, August of 23 was Brock's last match when Cody beat him at SummerSlam. So, literally 2 years since we've seen him in a ring.
Yeah, and again, I was good with that Lesnar send-off. And
yes,
I don't know. It just it's interesting with that lawsuit still pending and things being added to it seemingly as we go.
Gabe, this is what it is, though. Like, they're involved with TKO means that anything goes. And they don't care about perception because they already got the money from ESPN and other places.
Yep.
They don't care. Like, that whole morality, it wasn't like a place filled with morality anyway under Vince. What do you think it is now under TKO?
Yeah, it's just, and again, like, some people are celebrating it. So I'm not telling anybody how to feel. I'm just telling you how I feel about it. And it just doesn't feel great to me. And I don't think that, Are you going to make some money off of this? Sure. Are you going to sell a couple of Brock Lesnar Suplex City t-shirts off of it? Probably, with the different stops. I mean, because the other thing is, who knows how long Brock's around? Is he just going to be around for this Cena match? Like, are they going to fight in Paris and then that's going to be it?
I mean, I'm also not ready to rule out. I know we talked about a little bit off air. Like, if Cena says he wants Vince there for his last match, who's saying no in that room?
TKO legal. I think with the only way Vince, like, the lawsuit would have to be settled.
Okay.
Like, the lawsuit would have to be settled, I would think. And it doesn't seem correct. Like it's going to be settled.
Right.
And if it is settled, they will wheel Vince back out there. And by the way, no one's asking for that. No one's asking for it. Does the three of us miss Vince McMahon on WWE
Cena would,
TV
though.
And creative? Absolutely not.
There are people in that locker room that would, like the Cenas of the world. Like, they are blind loyalists. They 100% would ask for that.
You're right.
But I think John's smart enough PR-wise to know that if there's the lawsuit still pending, you can't roll out Vince. Like, he's smart enough. Like, he's been through enough of these movies. He's got enough of a reputation that he's got to protect. I think he knows.
He's stepped in it a few times, though. Like, while all this was going, since Vince has been out, wasn't it like the Howard interview where he went on and talked about his love for Vince? And I feel like he's said that multiple times. I agree with you that he should be. As much of a movie star as he is, you don't want to be involved in stuff like that. But to them, like, the old school wrestler is like, oh, no, this is the reason we are who we are. Like, blind loyalty forever.
And what's crazy, Gabe, Brian, is that last time we saw Vince on WWE TV, and again, we knew about the Janelle Grant situation. Cheers for Vince.
Yeah.
Just like we saw from Brock for SummerSlam. Everyone's cheering because it's the idea of seeing Brock Lesnar. When Vince is back there in a WWE arena, they will cheer him, even though we know that what he's been implicated with and what he's been charged with, it's insane. It's just disgusting, you know? But
agreed.
Lots of other things to dive into in the world of pro wrestling. In the ring, outside of the ring, we call it the three count each and every week here on GKW. Brian, what do we have number one this week?
News breaking yesterday, WWE and the mainstream continuing to grow. We talk about the money coming in. Well, WWE and ESPN now partnering up. Starting in 2026, all PLEs will be part of the new ESPN streaming service. What was your reaction to the WWE and ESPN relationship?
Still a little confused because they haven't been clear on the messaging of how and, you know, because like they put it out, oh, it's going to be on the ESPN app. And well, some are going to be on ESPN actual television. Some are going to be behind the paywall. Oh, but actually if you subscribe to ESPN through a certain amount of then it's free. But man, this thing's kicking into 2026.
Yes.
We've got four months left in 2025. Like, how about let's just get our ducks in a row. Give some clear messaging and then put it out there. I don't know what the rush was unless somebody from the outside had found out about it, so they wanted to get it out there. It seems like if you are an ESPN subscriber through regular cable, yes, and through some select streamers, like I think like through Hulu, which is not shocking since Hulu's owned by Disney, that you will still have access to this for no additional cost.
Right. So there is a note in the release yesterday, which hasn't been pushed out there. I've seen a few people tweet out. In addition to ESPN DTC subscribers, fans that access ESPN through a traditional pay TV provider like Comcast, DirecTV, Hulu, YouTube TV will also have access to the new features to the enhanced ESPN app. So that would include all the PLEs in 2026.
And I feel like that's the one thing that fans care about. I think we've seen this. But I think professional wrestling fans don't really care where it is. Is it Netflix? Is it on Peacock? Is it on ESPN Plus? They don't care. The number one thing I think, and I think we've seen this for AEW too, right? Like, oh, it's on traditional pay-per-view. It's on Triller. Oh, you can actually now get it through Amazon Prime. Who cares? Just tell me how much it costs. Right. Is it going to cost me more money to be a fan of the WWE? And my initial thought was, oh man, now you're going to have to, like, it was such a better deal to, you know, back in the WWE Network days when it was $14 a month. Now it's going to cost me $29.99 a month. Oh, and then I have to, like, wait until later in the day to find out, oh, no, actually, it's not going to cost me anymore because I'm subscribed to some of these things. So I wish they had a little bit clearer messaging. Obviously, this is a big deal. Like ESPN and their streaming platform, probably bigger than Peacock's at this point. Probably a hit for Peacock as they try to continue to build out their app over on the NBC side. But I mean, I think this is a big deal for them because, again, like WrestleMania and SummerSlam, like some of these things are going to be on traditional ESPN, which just broadens the reach of WWE.
You know, this is the first time that wrestling will be on an ESPN platform since the AWA. And for our younger listeners and viewers, I want you to put in AWA Showboat Sports Pavilion because it was broadcasting from Las Vegas and there were so many empty seats. But the thing is that, again, you have to go back and watch this. The AWA guys were on 5 days a week at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 5 days a week. This is a young Paul E. Dangerously working on his craft. Could you imagine that kind of platform being on ESPN 5 days a week, the same spot that we've had popular shows like a PTI or whatever every day? That's where AWA Wrestling was. They were filling out their daytime block. And now, so obviously this is great for wrestling. This is the wet dream of any promoter to the idea that you're at the pinnacle. You're at ESPN and you'll be able to be working with them. Yes, we are going to be paying through the nose for this, but this is the NFL model in some ways, right? I never thought, guys, that we would see the NFL on CBS, NBC, ESPN, ABC, on Fox, four different networks, along with several streaming channels. Right. Like it's so NFL everywhere. So the WWE the same way. It is Tubi, it's USA Network, it's Netflix, it's this ESPN directed to consumer. It's really amazing what they've been able to do. $325 million a year for what we could say is an above average product. But because the WWE's hot, ESPN paid for it. So hats off to them. I mean, I think that the three of us can agree. WWE from a money standpoint is doing well. In ring standpoint, it's okay. But ESPN want to be able to have that connection with WWE. And so here you are.
Yeah, and I think because of that, like, I don't know if we see a drastic push or change where it's like, hey, we want the wrestling to get to the next level. Like, they are happy with where they are. Like, they have behind-the-scenes shows. Like, there is a world where in 2026, we're coming off a SummerSlam that was just being aired on ESPN to anyone that can access ESPN. Like, that is a win for this company. That is one of the reasons we talk about, as much as we enjoy the AEW products as hot as they are, you're probably not going to catch them anytime soon because you're continuing to build that fan base. They're continuing to lap them in terms of that notoriety, in terms of that exposure that AEWers can't touch right now. Like, it's great to be on the Max app. It's not easy to find that stuff. I literally last night trying to watch the last 10 minutes of Dynamite, like, it took me 10 minutes just to find that. Like, I'm like, how in the world do I get to this? Eventually, I got there. And it's impressive. Like, to have those four letters associated with the WWE is a win for them. It's a positive for TKO. And it sort of shows that none of the other stuff matters. Like, they're just going out there and they're printing money at this point.
It also provides a creative buffer, right? Like, we're talking about how much we enjoy AEW right now. And AEW basically succeeds or fails based on the creative and how hot the products can get and how much fans are going to get behind it. It's not true for WWE anymore. Like, when you have access to ESPN, and we just saw Triple H on Get Up, and now that's going to get spread over social channels everywhere. You know, after SummerSlam, or, you know, if they do, you know, First Take on the Road in Vegas for WrestleMania, like, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility, by the way, going to Las Vegas and treating this the way that they treat, you know, the NBA Finals when First Take hits the road, or sending Stephen A. Smith there or whatever. Like, that just gives them another layer. It gives WWE another layer of, oh, we have a lot of exposure. And that's how we can also give ourselves, okay, well, Stephen A. Smith's, maybe I'll check out WrestleMania this weekend. Right. You know, with people who are going to stumble across it more and more and more. And it doesn't necessarily matter what the creative is if they have that level of exposure, if they're partnering with ESPN and ESPN's going to promote them across a number of their different platforms and shows that they have, that gets people to tune in and check it out. Now, keeping them around will be dependent on the creative, obviously. But, I mean, they've got a little bit of a buffer now with the sheer amount of exposure with some of these companies that they've partnered with, that their creative doesn't have to be as hot as it was with the Bloodline in charge and some of the great stories they told there. it doesn't have to be that because, I mean, ESPN's huge. They're everywhere.
That's fine. I mean, to me, it's about the wrestling more so than the platform. It's great that WWE has this platform. It's the pinnacle. But what Brian was just saying moments ago, and I read between the lines, Brian, because I know what you're trying to say. You know, when UFC got their big money, you know what happened? It's not like they're not still selling out arenas and going over to Saudi Arabia and having shows. But there's a lack of interest in UFC because of lack of star power.
Right.
Like you can be on ESPN and you can have SportsCenter there and all that. But I think that the three of us know that Triple H and WWE still needs to put their foot on the pedal. You can give us Unreal. You can give us some shows. But as we just talked about, where is the young stars in abundance in this company? And that's the problem. So that's the problem. So, yes, you have the platform. But you know what happened to UFC? They settled.
Yeah.
They settled. Now, it's not like I'm the biggest UFC fan. But you know what? Even through Osmosis, Gabe, you're not talking about it on your network shows ever at all. But you know, and the reason why it's not in the C or D block of your network shows is because they're nothing to talk about.
There's no stars.
Right.
There's no McGregor. There's no Khabib. There's no Ronda.
So all I'm saying is that I just don't want the WWE to just be lax and just say, well, here's a Saturday night's main event, if that's still going to be a thing. Here's a Raw. Here's a SmackDown. And it's always a C. It's always a B minus. But it's WWE. And we're at the top, so it's okay. I just don't want the WWE to turn into that. We got our money, so whatever the product we put out there is good enough.
I mean, I think we're going to continue to get those two-night pay-per-views and things like that. I agree with you from a UFC standpoint. Like, I'm not watching it, but, like, the Rondas of the world, that's something where it's like, all right, like, I want to go to the local sports bar. Like, let's go watch this. Like, there's that spectacle. There's something there. WWE doesn't have that right now. Like, we are watching every week because we're addicted. We are part of that. I just wonder how – but maybe it's just the younger audience. Like, the kids are getting into it. Like, my kids rarely watch. Like, it's on in the house here and there. But, like, Jey Uso is pulling them in and, like, from a wrestling standpoint, I personally can't stand Jey Uso in the ring. But that's bringing in young fans, and there's things like that where it's just that's, I guess, what they're banking on.
He had to take a shot. He just had to. Couldn't help himself. Just, you know, like, yo, in case you were wondering of the previous 10 times that I brought up Jey Uso, I want to clarify my stance.
It's called how he is anti-heat. I want people to know.
Breaking down the fourth wall. The hottest things on our YouTube channel that you're watching right now, youtube.com, Good Karma Wrestling, are the entrances.
Right.
I mean, I wish I could say the three of us with our great thoughts about professional wrestling, but the thing that's getting numbers is like the video, the rogue videos that we're taking of the entrances, the exits, the finishes, because for Brian's kids, it's yeeting. It's not about the technical prowess of Jey Uso. It's just the popping circumstances when he comes down the ring. And that's where some WWE fans, that's where they lie. Entrance, exit, finish. Promo.
So ridiculous.
Meanwhile,
the world we live in.
Sports entertainment.
Yep.
Meanwhile, AEW is burning the midnight oil by giving you 30-minute matches and like a million moves. And it's like, what's our numbers? What happened? Bleeding, sweating, paying the price every single PLE while WWE is just yeeting their way right through $325 million a year. Crazy.
Yeah.
What do we got at number two this week, Brian?
Paul Heyman on the Errol Hawani podcast said Jacob Fatu, Bron Breakker, and Rhea Ripley, if the circumstances right, are all future WrestleMania main eventers. On the WWE roster right now, we talk about young stars. Who's the future WrestleMania main eventer that we haven't seen there just yet?
I think the one name for sure that I think he left off is Dominic. I feel like Dominic Mysterio is probably going to be on that list if he continues. Now, his has certainly been a slower climb. And part of the reason for that is, like, he didn't go through NXT, right? Like, turns out his dad had some pulls, so he brought him up right away, and they're a tag team. And his development has been slowly happening in front of our eyes. But that development has been happening, whether that's been character development, whether that's been in-ring. He's been fantastic. So I would add Dominic Mysterio as somebody to that list that I think Paul missed out on.
So it is Stephanie Vaquer. I think that on the women's side, that I think one day we're going to see that. Now, who her opponent is, I'm not sure. But but it seems to me, guys, you tell me if I'm wrong, the way that she's been able to be on the mic, knowing that her English is still not great, and they're still giving her a chance to do promos. You know that she's terrific in the ring. She's sexy, but she can go. I think at some point she could be in that spot because I think people, especially guys, really like her.
Yeah, and I mean, in that world, like that finisher and the Booker T aspect of it, like that's the thing that's going to get over and sell merchandise.
The Booker T aspect of it, is that what you said?
Yes.
He did. He did. Yeah. It's exactly what he said.
Okay.
The only one I wrote down from the female division was Jade.
Yeah? Yeah, why is that?
And just the look, the feel, I feel like she's got that star power. Like, I think of the marquee. I think of, like, the big posters around town. Like, she's still pushed out there a lot. And in that world where the wrestling doesn't matter as much, I think that's someone they could build towards.
I feel like they let you know how they feel about her with her not defeating Tiffy this week.
Not even not defeating I think, her. Like, that was under 10 minutes.
Yeah, I think everything that went into that, the circumstances, the lack of build, I think that they kind of told you how they feel right now about her on the main roster. And that's what makes me scared. You're 100% right. I mean, and the reason why they signed her and took her away from AEW is because of the look, the charisma, the feel around her. But you still have to be able to do a little bit of something in the ring. And while she has certainly gotten better, she's not to the point where they have any faith in her. Otherwise, I think she would have gone over or they would have given her a better match to try to showcase her.
You know what the problem was with that matchup between Tiffy and Jade? Who calls the match?
Right.
That's the problem. You know what that was, guys? That under 10-minute match. You know what we saw? Two women that tried to remember choreography.
Yeah, I would say that entire match is called Backstage, is who calls it.
And we've seen that before, Gabe. I know if you've been backstage before, but it's just the miming, right? It's just like, you do this, and we do this, and you go do this, and like that's I see that all the time when I'm ever backstage at a wrestling show, and it's like, no one's going to call in the ring, huh? Nobody? And so that's why I wish it was Jade. Just get me wrong, but how long have we done this show? Whether she was AEW and WWE, say, well, Jade's coming. She's on her way. And it's just like, guys, she has that $1 million look. But anytime that you're putting your opponent's foot on the ropes, as she did in that matchup, I'm like, not getting it.
But we've
and
seen
they, they've given her every opportunity, man. It's tough.
Yeah, I agree. But we've seen the flashes when she's in with the right person that is able to sort of guide her along. Like, Heyman mentioned Rhea as a main event. Like, a Rhea and Jade main event, like, I don't think that's crazy. No,
man, that's asking a lot of Rhea.
You know what? But at least you got a veteran that can call the match,
right?
That did not work with Tiffany Stratton, who still, you know, is good. And here's the thing that we saw in this match: two good-looking women, two athletic women, but neither one of them could be able to just maneuver the other because it was 1-2-3 kick, 1-2-3 arm drag, 1-2-3, and so at least with Rhea. Rhea could carry the match.
Right.
It can make Jade look good. So no one was making anybody look good in that match. Sorry, it's like, and you remember she was off our TV for a while? She kind of disappeared because she was working in Orlando and she came back as the same person.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
That's tough. And that's
the thing, like we talked about earlier, where like that main event scene is very bleak right now. It is the same cast of characters to where we talk about future main eventers. Agree with Heyman on Fatu, Braun, Rhea. I agree with you, Gabe, about
Fatu. By the way, Fatu is 35, so it's not like he's a spring chicken.
Young kid,
young by WWE standards, I guess. Like, but even like these future main eventers, outside of the Cody, Brock, Roman, Rollins, Punk, like I feel like we're still 4 or 5 years away from seeing a fresh face in the main event.
How has I don't remember what her new name is. How has Mariah May done down in NXT?
Not great.
Not good.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Not good. She's so Gabe. She starts off in a tag team match. What is it?
Jordan.
Was it Blake Monroe?
Yes, that's her.
Blake name. Monroe. Yes, that is her. Yeah. Yes, that is her name.
Blake Monroe. She starts off in a tag team match. I'm like, that's how you start her. But I love the presentation. The presentation's great on that soft porn that's known as NXT. But as far as the in-ring, she's a veteran.
Yes.
Kind of just spoon-feeding her. She should be a player there, and she's not.
Well again, because she was in, like, yes, Jade had the TBS championship and had the long run with it, but, like, Mariah had a very legitimate main event for and was the women's world champion in AEW. Like, had a good run. Like, and I guess I haven't. The reason why I asked the question, because I feel like I haven't heard anything about her since she's gone into NXT. And every once in a while, if I have time, I might go check out NXT. But it just doesn't seem like there's been much. I assumed her stop in NXT was going to be short, but it does not appear to be.
Let me make sure you understand something, okay? You don't have time. Oh, God.
Look, they got him throwing stuff. He's just worried.
Next time, he's going to slap us. He's violent, you know. He's Gabe Neitzel. Let me just tell you something right now. You are not to be watching NXT on Tuesdays. You got a Brewers season to watch. You got no time for that nonsense. You got the hottest team in baseball right now. You got no time for that nonsense. You and I rooting hard for the Brewers.
Yeah, let's go Brewers.
That's my crew. You don't have time for it. So you are not to be watching NXT, that soft porn. You're to be watching a great Brewers season. Do you understand me?
All right.
Yeah.
I understand. You don't have time for that. Sir, yes, sir.
Don't be turning that on. Watch the best team in baseball. Keep that on. That's what you do.
Fair enough.
The other one, by the way, like I wrote down three names that are like stretches, but maybe. I'm talking about NXT, Obafemi, even though I feel like the fact that they haven't called him up yet, like I begin to worry a little bit, but like he's got the look, he's got the feel, he's good enough on a mic. Logan Paul?
I think he's dedicated now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say yes. Mm-hmm. He's not.
I could see Logan Paul.
That's what he is.
And the other one I wrote, I don't know if the ship has sailed and the stock isn't as high as it was a year or two ago, is Montez Ford.
Well, every time I see Montez Ford, he looks pissed.
Agreed. I mean, that breakup, what was that, 2 years ago? We're like, oh, these guys are going to break up.
Well, yeah, but I feel like we've been waiting for the breakup since we started this show. Like, oh man, Tez Ford, he's going to take off, you know, and he's going to be the one that gets the rocket just strapped to him. I don't know if that was a Vince thing, and then ever since Triple H took over, he decided to keep the Street Profits together.
But we flat out asked Dawkins about being a single star, and he's like, nah, I'm good. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. So Dawkins.
Well, we were worried about Dawkins being Jannetty. Like, that was a legitimate conversation we had on the show. Like, man, we kind of like him, but, I mean, someone's got to be Jannetty. And unfortunately for him, I guess it's got to be him.
No, Dawkins said, F that. I just want to stay in the tag team. Remember? He was with us. He was like, yes. Nah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
No. So he's holding on for dear life. And then we saw them, you know, break up for a little bit, and Dawkins held his own.
Yes, remember he had that Rollins match on a Raw. That was really good.
He's holding on. But like Montez Ford, every time I see him, you know, last time we saw him in a promo, he walked off. Mm-hmm. He's tired of this. He is tired of this. Like being underbooked as a tag team guy, not getting his singles push because he'd be new and fresh in his singles division. So he looks like he's tired of this creative.
Right.
As far as Obafemi, I guess if you think he's really the guy, just be picked. Because remember, with Bron Breakker, I mean, he probably got called up 18 right. months after everybody thought he was ready. Like, he dropped the NXT championship and then, for whatever reason, was still down in NXT for a long time. Like, nobody could figure it out. Like, I thought this guy, and I mean, he has absolutely killed it ever since he came up. Like, in everything they've asked him to do, he has knocked it out of the park. So maybe they're just waiting, like, hey, you know, with somebody like Carmelo Hayes, they're like, okay, he's not really going to be – maybe they thought he could be a main eventer, but they threw him up there and he's kind of a mid-carder at best at this point. I don't know if they really feel like they have something with someone that they just want to make sure that everything's buttoned up in NXT before they ultimately come up the way they
do. Yeah, I agree with you on Obafemi. Like, eventually he's going to be that guy. He had a really solid matchup against Moose. I just think they need a little bit more seasoning and that guy could be in the Rumble next year.
That'd be an awesome spot for him. I also wonder, like, if you're Heyman, is Bronson Reed a guy we don't think about? Like,
oh no, we think about him because he's got to take the pinfalls.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, I don't think he can be the main eventer because the only reason he's in that group is to take the pins when they need.
He's really good though, and he's stealing shoes.
Yeah.
Oh, the Shula Fall is great. He has the most devastating move. Like, as good as the spear is. Like, the tsunami is the one that they put over is the one. I mean, again, that's what he did, six or seven of them. How many ever before this group was formed to put Seth Rollins on the shelf. And like that's the move that they sell the most, but he's in the group to take the pinfalls because they're trying to protect Seth and Braun ahead of him. So unfortunately for him, he's got some stuff to overcome.
Champions one day. I like that. You always want to have a power guy and a speed guy. And with those two, Braun and Bronson, I think they're going to be tag team champions one day. I love that unit, the vision. Yep. Really good. Really good.
But that's the thing. You watch them this weekend, and they had a great match with Roman and Jay. Like, they are two guys that, yes, should be tag team champions if there was a tag team division to speak of. Like, you want them on your TV. You want them in marquee matches. Like, them winning those belts would just be extra stuff to hold. Like, we wouldn't see them in any marquee matches.
Heyman holds those belts. They don't.
Okay. So you see Heyman holding up. Heyman and Don Callis, that's their jobs.
Heyman just stumbling out there. Yeah, stumbling out there with the championships once again.
What do we got at number three this week? Last night, main event, we saw Mark Briscoe fall to MJF in the main event. We've seen Mark Briscoe in a lot of main events recently. What is the ceiling for one Mark Briscoe?
Kind of feels like this is the ceiling. Like, he's been ROH world champ, right? Like, so he's been ROH world champ. I mean, maybe you can give him one of the mid-card titles on AEW television, but as much as Hangman was pumping him up last night about how he wanted him to be the opponent and he respects him, and I don't see him as AEW world champion, you know? So main eventing some dynamites and holding his own and doing everything that he does, I think is fantastic. I feel like this is the ceiling. This is high as it gets for Mark Briscoe. You know, getting close, but obviously never actually getting that world championship.
Can we get some surprises on this show every now and then? Like I didn't expect Briscoe to beat MJF yesterday, but I'm tired of Briscoe losing every match because the heels say you're a loser, you lose every match. And then, by the way, they're right. So you're giving credence to the heels when he keeps losing matches. So that's a problem.
Point, like they mentioned in the promo, like, oh, you won a few main events in a row. Like, I don't remember that. Like, I agree. Like, every time you see him in a match, you assume he's eating the pin. Like, maybe they're on the weekend. Like, I was like, he has? Like, so there's something disconnected.
Has he been main eventing on ROH TV? About?
No, I don't know.
I don't know what
they're talking about. I have no idea. I just feel like another example of this. An underdog is like Speedball Mike Bailey against Mox, right? Mm-hmm. A roll up 1-2-3 for Bailey could have done great things for him, right? Hey, you rolled up for the former AEW champion, and then it doesn't make Moxley anything less.
No.
But it's a quick victory because of the distraction from Darby. That should have been the finish yesterday, but yet nope, keep Moxley strong. Why? He's not winning the title anytime soon. There's just little things like that irk me about the company. But as far as Briscoe, the documentary comes out. It was a great documentary about his life and the loss of his brother. Okay, so you ramp that up to Briscoe winning matches because of his brother. You want to use his brother as the crutch? Go ahead. Sure. But you just don't have him. My brother's dead, and I keep losing matches.
Right.
Like that's, to me, him being a good hand is poor, lazy booking to me. Because I'm like, so when will he ever win the big match?
Right, and that's why last night was that opportunity. You have him beat MJF. That's a good win on TV. You then delay MJF and Hangman to, 2 months from now, and the pay-per-view could have been MJF and Briscoe in a stipulation match. It's round three. It's another match. MJF can go over there. But him being in these moments, ultimately eating the pin every time, does nothing. I agree with you, Gabe, about the mid-card. Like, maybe it's him beating Fletcher. Like, maybe he's the one that eventually takes the TNT title off Fletcher, and that's a moment. Not next week, but like down the line. I don't know.
Our guy. How could you say that?
He's got to drop it eventually so he can win the world title. That's how it works.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you could give him a good showing in their tournament at the
but
end of the year.
He's always in those, and he's just the guy losing.
I don't know.
Like, he'll have a few good matches.
Yeah, he's the guy to eat the pins that's going to give you a good
eventually
match.
Eventually, you need some of these guys to break through. Like, Brody King's in that role. You mentioned Speedball. Like, the Brody King.
Well, but Brody King, to their credit,
but
I mean, they won their
tag team
match last night.
Or whenever they're facing FCR?
I think there's a very strong possibility. Because I think you could get the interference from Edge.
Because put the belts on it. Like Brody King deserves a title. I know they had a trios run, and those belts that don't actually matter. Put it on Bandito and Brody. Like, why not?
Well, I mean, to be fair, Bandito and Brody beat a couple of jobbers yesterday. That wasn't much of a match.
That's fair, yes.
Let's just be honest.
God, how are they just so killing good. It with this jobber like gimmick? Like putting up their names from TNA on the marquee, getting stuck halfway up, like
the random pyro, just
absolutely nailing this jobber thing. Yeah,
that wasn't really innovative. That was they just pushed the Orange Cassidy button because that's his pyro. It wasn't really innovative. That's I just think they could go a little further though. That they haven't gone far enough.
But like, the other note, which I saw on social, I must have missed on TV, all the like money matches that have been happening have been apparently their EVP salaries is the angle. That Tony's spending their money in those matches.
But give me the briefcase.
Yeah, so.
Show me the old Harley Race attaché case with the money in it.
But at least there's something. There's a story there at least now.
Yeah, show me the money because otherwise it's all right. Kind of fake. It's kind of fugazi. I don't like that.
Sorry.
No, but as far as Briscoe is concerned, Gabe, I just, I know they have a number of these guys are just giving you good matches and all that. Queen Amanada's in that, right. In that as well. So it's like at some point you have to break through.
She lost again last night.
Promo time.
She did.
How do you get promo time after that? You know, so just like Briscoe is better than this. You could make a Mick Foley kind of story with him. You could. As this plucky underdog that just comes through and wins matches because the fans love him. So why does he keep losing? Now the fans will start losing faith in him if you just keep losing like this.
Right. Like the fans love him. The locker room loves him. Like everyone is a fan, but him just losing matches all the time does nothing for him.
Could you do a Sami Zayn type thing with him? Because it seemed like the build and run for Sami, you know, again, he brought it up in his promo the other day on Raw. About how he wants to be a world champion and crosses in the rearview mirror. Like the world champion buzz for Sami has been building for quite some time. And I know that Brian is driving that buzz. But could you do something similar with Mike Briscoe?
I say yes. Yeah, I think you can.
I'm hesitant because
why not, Brian?
Yeah, I'm hesitant.
Brian seems less.
I just feel like that seems a little more protected.
Brian is all sped up.
Yeah. Yeah, we got the quickly digitized version, like all of his words in the matter of
I just can't handle it. I'm emotional about Mark Briscoe and the thought of Sami Zayn winning a world title. Sorry.
Okay, well, that'll be fine. Well, I just – and by the way, as far as that match is concerned, guys, if someone talks about my dead brother, I'm going for blood. You know, I got a wrestling match.
Yes.
So what we saw is MJF's match. It wasn't Mark Briscoe's match. Yeah, there was still like the tables and all that and a trickle of blood from it. But I mean, I'm trying to kill MJF and we didn't get that. It was unrealistic. It was unreal.
Ah.
Well, there's also somebody who has a problem with the unrealistic nature. And I think we're going to get to that right now. This week, Brian, in News and Notes.
All right, we've already talked about icky wrestlers making returns. Well, there's plenty more in the headlines over the last week. Reports that some talent in the WWE are pushing for an Alberto Del Rio return. Now that the AAA relationship, WWE reportedly very against it. Also, we saw a Portland indie company this week promoting the return of the one and only Joey Ryan, to which another Portland company said, hey, anyone that works that show with Joey Ryan will never be booked by us again. Conveniently, the next day, Joey Ryan has been canceled from said appearance. So wrestling fans, well, stay wrestling fans.
I'm good on Alberto Del Rio. I mean, if they want to put him in AAA and do that, go for it. Like, because he was in AAA before WWE's involvement. I don't need to see him on my television for WWE. I'm good on the Alberto Del Rio experience.
Well, under the TKO banner, I think that's wide open now, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
But the WWE seems still very staunch against bringing in Alberto Del Rio. Because, again, with Brock, while I don't agree with it, I do see the avenue to making money with Brock Lesnar. Like, right. I see the avenue in which the company makes more money with Brock Lesnar in it. I get that. I don't see that with Alberto Del Rio.
Which is what matters. to them. Like that's the thing that matters.
Imagine at the Royal Rumble, entrant number 14, we're counting 3, 2, 1, and then you hear Alberto Del Rio's music. Is that going to be a pop, or is that going to be, oh, who's this guy?
It'll be a pop. And is that, it? And that's the, yep, it's the WWE fans. They love nostalgia. And just, and I know, but this is, you got to know where our fans are. Absolutely. Roger Chapman pitches for the Cubs, comes over in a trade. You know what Chapman went through as far as domestic violence. He comes to the mound, and 40,000 people are cheering Chapman. He's on the team. People get into it. It's just what it is. Same thing here with Alberto Del Rio, guys. Same thing.
I mean, he's been out of the WWE for 9 years.
I would agree with you that he should be in AAA. He's a good heel. But as far as being on the WWE platform, I don't get that. I don't see the value, quite frankly.
No.
Which is what, like, that's the important part to them. Like, he's not enough of a name. Like, we saw the Carlito return. Like, he came back, and not to compare him in terms of out the ring stuff, but like similar, not skill sets, but in terms of like ceilings, I guess, with those guys. And they got what they needed out of Carlito.
It's just what, and the Joey Ryan story.
Uh huh.
He's been canceled in a lot of places.
Yes.
So I know he keeps trying to worm himself back into the bloodstream of wrestling. Don't think I missed a Joey Ryan at all and his dick spot.
Agreed. How about this from the Masked Man podcast, Bret Hart on it, talking about Gunther. He said, quote, "The best wrestling has to pretend to be real. That's what I did. Contrary to that Gunther guy, I hate wrestlers that hurt each other on purpose." He said he has told Gunther this, a quote, "I've told him this to his face. It's bullshit. When you're hurting somebody for real, you're unprofessional."
Who?
Gunther.
Well, who did Gunther hurt? I
know. Those chops, they hurt. You don't see the marks on the chest?
Yeah, he said he shouldn't have to go to bed. He shouldn't have to wake up in the morning with a sore chest if he's wrestling someone.
Say face to face to Ric Flair the same thing?
Those chops don't hurt as much. Gunther's got a bigger hand.
Okay, I love Brett. That's a step too far. That's a step too far. Honest to God, that's a step too far. Because Goldberg himself said those chops don't hurt.
Right.
He did. Remember? And that was foul too. He shouldn't have said that.
I'm much like Hood. Love Brett. Think he's fantastic. Not everybody has to wrestle like Brett.
Right.
Bryan Danielson said it the best. I think this was when he was still with WWE. You know, hey, I'm a little guy. And I can wrestle the Big Show. And, like, you have all these different styles, like, clashing together and mixing together. And, okay, maybe you don't like a Texas deathmatch style. Oh, wait around for this luchadors type match. Or this brawling, you know, with Jon Moxley. Like, having different wrestling styles is what makes an entire two-hour show or three-hour, four-hour pay-per-view like fun to watch, because it's not going to be the same thing on repeat. And it just seems like Brett wants everyone to wrestle like him, which again was fantastic. He's one of the greatest of all time. I enjoyed watching Brett, but if I just watched 4 hours of Brett technical wrestling, like, it's not going to be as fun.
Maybe that's why he's confused, because so many guys go out there and wrestle Brett matches that Brett's like, yeah, I need these, you know, Dax and Punk matches. We need more of that.
Yes, IEAW. You're looking for a fake tribute band to Bret Hart? Just put on AEW. You'll see it all the time. I disagree with Bret. Like, and Bret, the quote you just gave, did Bret call himself a phony wrestler?
He said the best wrestling has to pretend to be real. That's what he did.
Oh, wow. I thought the stuff he was doing was real. That's what I kept reading about in his book and in all his quotes. Oh, wow. Okay.
When you're hurting somebody for real, you're unprofessional.
I think that he just has PTSD Goldberg. That's what he's got.
Yeah, just associating Gunther with him now.
Yeah. I don't think we'll start with a G.
Uh-huh.
It's Gunther, not Goldberg. What?
Goldberg. If he ever says Bill Gunther, like, then we know we're in trouble.
He's addled.
Some contract news. Karrion Kross and Scarlett both not at Raw this week, according to Fightful. According to Fightful, their contracts are set to expire this weekend. Dave Meltzer says, though, the WWE has given them a new offer.
It doesn't seem like they're going to be sticking around, does it? It just feels like they had their match. It feels like Cross hasn't really been used maybe the way that he would like, and maybe they try something else. And maybe, I mean, again, I think that they're going to leave WWE the right way. Their contracts are going to expire. They'll leave that door open. But my guess is he's going to want to be featured a little bit more than he's been on WWE TV.
So Paul Heyman, by the way, in that Helwani interview said that the buzz right now and the fan support is similar to Stone Cold when it comes to Karrion Kross.
I heard him say that, and that's, again, a bridge too far. It's not that. Right. But what I would tell you, I'll put a bet down that they're going to be renewed. And if the plan is that, oh, we want Karrion Kross. This is just a test by the fans, by the way, to all this, right? Do the fans really want Karrion Kross? I think they want the power to be able to bring him back. It's like the power of R-Truth. I think R-Truth. That's what it is. I think so. And I think that Karrion Kross and Scarlett will be back. But I think that, you know, they'll do it in a creative way for them to return. Because otherwise, why give them or why give Kross a SummerSlam match? If they're on a contract, you're supposed to bury them and not even be on TV.
And from their perspective, though, like you mentioned, Truth, Ron Killings, whatever you want to call them, like, don't they look at that and be like, oh, we don't want to do that? Like, the fan support was there. You got them back. You had that moment. Where is our Truth now? Yeah, I'm not seeing him on my television.
Yeah, come back, have one match because, oh, everybody wanted this, and then you just kind of disappear into the ether.
It's because we wanted it and not right. WWE Creative. That still permeates in that company.
Uh-huh.
My God, we want Daniel Bryan. He's too small. He's indirific. Suck it. And then he wins the championship, and then it's like he gets hurt. He goes, I told you so. He sucks.
We talked about earlier, like Hunter flat out like lying to the fans about what they're saying when they're saying we want Kross. Like, yeah, you got Brock. That's not what we said.
I think they come back, but I think they're going to do it in a creative way. I do. Otherwise, why was he on SummerSlam? Did he really deserve a SummerSlam match? We watched him in Saudi. You think that it was anything different in those matches?
Also, that finish felt weird. I don't know if that was the like him admitting it, like we're not gonna get that part on air from that awful stipulation. But like there was something happening there at the end of that match after Sammy won.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's weird.
And finally, news and notes, some other free agency news. Willow Nightingale told the Cleveland News Herald that when her contract was coming up, free agency never crossed her mind. She was always loyal to AEW.
Good for her. I mean, I think she stands out in AEW. I think she is a future women's world champion in that company. She has built a lot of goodwill within that company, within that fan base. I think that makes a ton of sense.
One of my AEW crushes, Willow Nightingale. And I mean, she has a crush on me. I would just say that I would just say that that's if I was her boyfriend or significant other, bad business. Always leave the door open just in case. Don't just be an AEW loyalist because that means they could job you out. You could still, you know, you're in good standing, but you don't think the WWE is watching Willow? Never say that, right? You never know that you could be on Raw or SmackDown one day. Just don't say that.
I will also say from social media this week, I don't know who put it out there, Willow Nightingale cutting an Eddie Kingston promo. Highly recommend.
I have not seen that. Have you seen that, Gabe?
I have not.
I will send it over. We'll put it on Twitter. It is very amusing. She's good at what she does.
Check it out.
Uh-huh.
All right. What did you have as your matches of the week?
Well, it starts with the 2013 Cena coming out of nowhere to be able to lose a championship against Cody Rhodes. We had this totally wrong, guys. Totally wrong. I just had no idea that Cena had that left in him. And the philosophy I keep hearing is, well, Cena wrestled as a heel. Well, the way I would have booked it is Cena could wrestle that way and still be a heel and then realize, you know what, I was wrong. Shake hands instead of turning babyface on SmackDown. That was just bullshit creative. Don't worry about what you've seen before, guys. Nothing to look here. Nothing to see here. Cena now a babyface out of nowhere on a Friday night on a go-home show. So I got to give Cena his flowers. We haven't seen him look like that since 2012, 2013. And I thought that was a tremendous match against Cody. No Travis Scott, no outside interference. I'm like, so they're having a match, huh? Wow, I didn't expect any of that.
No, it was a great match. I have a hard time imagining Cena topping that on his way out. Like, that's going to be yeah. the highlight match of his retirement tour.
So yeah, I don't see anyone that, like, Brock's not going to bring that out of him. Like, I'm just trying to think through who he might still face. Like, that's it.
TLC match, just absolute insanity, just all over the place from night two, even including why am I blanking on her name, taking a Candace crazy LeRae. Bump. Yeah, Candice LeRae off the
How
top of that ladder.
Standing? How was she doing promos know. After that?
No clue. No clue.
She's too little to take wildest that bump.
That's what she does.
That's crazy. Yeah,
just unbelievable. Like, that was the bump of the match, and she wasn't even in it.
So Candice LeRae goes up. She gets the belt. Who wins?
Well, if she throws – assuming she throws him to DIY, I'm assuming DIY because they have them then.
You know that's insane, right? That's crazy. We had so many people on the outside that was trying to represent their tag teams. I was just crazy. I thought the wrong team won. The wrong team won there, but it's fine. It was just quite the spectacle, though, that's for sure.
The Gargano ab strength to do the pull-up on the belts?
Wow.
That was ridiculous.
Anything else from SummerSlam that was a banger?
So I enjoyed the women's tag team title match.
Very good.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I'm sort of enjoying the Charlotte and Alexa stuff and some of the stuff they're doing.
Yeah. Next time we win the tag team championships in six man, I'm going to pull your hair. Just like Charlotte did. Like, what are you pulling her hair for? It's such a weird dynamic between those two.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. It is. I've enjoyed that.
I thought the opener for night one was very solid. Braun and Bronson against Roman and Jay. Very,
yes.
Very good.
Jelly Roll, not that it's on my list, but Jelly Roll performed better than I thought he would.
And that'll be all for Jelly Roll, by the way.
He asked to take the loss because all the celebrities usually win. He told that on Cody's podcast.
He took a hell of a beating, man. I give him a hats off to him.
That hats splash through the table.
Oh,
like,
my
that was
God. I thought for sure. I thought 100%, like, there's no way he's taking this bump. Clearly, he's going to roll off the table. And then, because that's typically how that always ends up for Logan Paul. Like, he sets up that, he uses his prime as a prop, and then he ends up crashing through the table because the guy rolls off. The fact that he took that, holy shit.
Yes.
What a bump to just be absorbing when you're Jelly Roll. Like, he doesn't have to do that. He's like, I'm going to eat that. I am 100% eating that. I'm like, okay, pal. Good on you.
I'm going to sneak this in for AEW Collision because I was there at the Aragon Ballroom with a road to myself. Kyle Fletcher against Dustin Rhodes.
Our guy.
Was amazing.
Stabbing with screwdrivers and everything. Our guy finally getting his first singles title.
Hey, where's the news and notes about the double knee surgery for Dustin Rhodes? That's pretty bad.
Dustin said not a work because, you know, we can't believe injuries anymore. He said not a work.
Double knee replacement. Like that. Like, he's going to be out for a year plus.
Yeah.
Yep. He'll have the headset on and creative.
What's going to happen with all his belts in Ring of Honor?
He'll have to relinquish them. That's all right. He's got another 5 years left. He's got a 6-year contract, which is insane. You're going to be around for 6 years? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess so.
We mentioned it before, but the tag match last night with the Young Bucks and Brodito was fantastic. I thought it was the finishing move of having Bandito do the 450 splash after being launched off the feet of Brody King is insane.
But what about him being launched for the dive to the outside that, like, was out of frame because he was so damn high?
Yeah, he was. Yes, he was. At ESPN Cleveland, too, by the way. Hot crowd in Cleveland. They love their wrestling there. So great. Good for them.
I also enjoyed the women's four-way last night.
Yes. It was very good.
Sky, Queen Ramonada. Who else was in it? Sky Blue. Or I said Sky Blue. Plenty of Billy Starks. That was a fun match. And I feel like they're doing a better job at showcasing other women outside of just the top stars in that division right now.
I thought that Naomi, Io Sky, and Rhea had a really, really good matchup. The finish is exactly what it needs to be. Naomi sneaking in the back door, but those three women, man, they can go.
Yep.
Love what I saw from them. And of course, Punk Gunther. We can't forget about them
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, Punk Gunther was really good. Like a classic old school wrestling match. While Gunther's wrestling injured, and now he can go off and have his nose surgery after having that match.
Yeah, thank you for saying that, because there's people on Busted Open that was calling me talking about like the match was too many rest holds and too slow. So you never understood like a match of that magnitude with two veterans is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it ramps up to 10, right?
Yep.
It started off slow, and then it moved up. I don't agree with Brian Alvarez that says that Punk was blown up. I mean, I understand that they don't wrestle every week and not on the road all the time, but for two veterans, I thought that the struggle was real. I thought it was really well laid out. It was paced well all the way up to the end where Seth Rollins catches in.
And I think also that speaks to the internet wrestling community. Like you said recently, Gabe, where like not everything's for everyone. I watched that match after it aired live and loved it. And then scrolling through Twitter after, like, what is everyone complaining about? Like, I was so baffled. I was like, did I miss something? Like, I very much enjoyed that Gunther and Punk match.
Yeah, it was never going to be. I mean, again, because Punk's a historian, man. Like, Punk loves, you know, the old. We just talked about how he loved doing when he was in AEW, like the Bret Hart, you know, tribute matches that he seemed to constantly be doing when he was in AEW. Like, he's somebody who likes that older school, especially at this age, slowing down a little bit. Again, was it different? Yeah, it wasn't a spot fest. It wasn't, you know, but not for everybody, but I think it was for the old school wrestling fans.
Totally agree.
And yeah, honestly, like SummerSlam as a card, like, and we talked about this last week, that it was, there were a couple, like I was expecting more out of Dominik and AJ Styles. Was still fine. I guess maybe my expectations were too high for it. And I thought it was going to be like the one match I thought I was going to be talking about come on this show. Solo and Jacob Fatu, I think, kind of fell flat inside the steel cage. That was a little disappointing, but I mean, other than, you know, Sami, Karrion Kross, like there are a couple here and there, but I think over the course of two nights, much better wrestling and a much better two-night card than WrestleMania was. Like, not even
Becky and Lyra was a mess at the end. It was a mess because she actually got away from the being clamped. She actually had her hands free, and she tried to pretend like her hands were still bound. It's like, it was overbooked.
Yeah.
It was overbooked. It was a mess. And it's too bad because Lyra really needed – she was going to lose the match, but it should have been better. And I thought they just put a hat on a hat on a hat too much in that matchup. It was too overbooked for me to enjoy.
That's fair.
We mentioned a lot of the different interviews we've done in the past. If you want to go back, take a look at them, feel free. Comment, subscribe, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. We're going to have some more interviews, hopefully coming up soon, that you're always going to be able to find there, as well as our regular weekly podcasts. Whew. Busy week, calms down just a little bit, but we are building up towards Clash in Paris. We're building up towards that Forbidden Door pay-per-view in London for AEW. We're going to talk about everything right here next week on GKW.